Still, I followed along as Mr. Grumpy directed Deborah to a conference room at the back of the building. There was a long oak table with 10 black high-backed chairs in the center of the room, and a desk in the corner with a computer and some audio-visual equipment. As Deb and her pimply young friend sat and began trading frowns, I wandered over to the desk. A small bookshelf sat under the window beside the desk. I looked out the window. Almost directly below me, I could see the growing crowd of reporters and squad cars that now surrounded the door where we had gone in with Staban. I looked at the bookshelf, thinking I would clear a small space and lean there, tastefully away from the conversation. There was a stack of manila folders, and perched on top of it was a small gray object. It was squarish and looked to be plastic. A black wire ran from the thing over to the back of the computer. I picked it up to move it.
"Hey," the surly geek said, "don't mess with the webcam."
I looked at Deb. She looked at me, and I swear I saw her nostrils flare like a racehorse at the starting gate.
"The what?" she said quietly.
"I had it focused down on the entrance," he said. "Now I gotta refocus it. Man, why do you have to mess with my stuff?"
"He said webcam," I said to Deborah.
"A camera," she said to me.
"Yes."
She turned to young Prince Charming.
"Is it on?"
He gaped at her, still concentrating on maintaining his righteous frown.
"What?"
"The camera," Deborah said. "Does it work?"
He snorted and then wiped his nose with a finger.
"What do you think? I would get all worked up if it didn't? $200. It totally works."
I looked out the window where the camera had been pointing as he droned on in his surly grumble.
"I got a website and everything. Cathouse.com. People can watch the team when they get here and when they leave."
Deborah drifted over and stood beside me, looking out the window.
"It was pointed at the door," I said.
"Duh,"
our happy pal said.
"How else are people on the website going to see the team?"
Deborah turned and looked at him. After about 5 seconds, he blushed and dropped his eyes to the table.
"Was the camera turned on last night?" she said.
He didn't look up, just mumbled,
"Sure, I mean, I guess so."
Deborah turned to me. Her computer knowledge was confined to knowing enough to fill out standardized traffic reports. She knew I was a little more savvy. "How do you have it set up?" I asked the top of the young man's head. "Do the images automatically archive?" This time he looked up. I'd used archive as a verb, so I must be okay.
"Yeah," he said. "It refreshes every 15 seconds and just dumps to the hard drive. I usually erase in the morning."
Deborah actually clutched my arm hard enough to break the skin.
"Did you erase this morning?" she asked him.
He glanced away again.
"No," he said. "You guys came stomping in and yelling and stuff. I didn't even get to check my email."
Deborah looked at me.
"Bingo," I said.
"Come here,"
she said to our unhappy camper.
"Huh?"
he said.
"Come here," she repeated,
and he stood up slowly, mouth hanging open, and rubbed his knuckles.
"What?"
he said. "Could you please come over here, sir?" Deborah ordered with truly veteran cop technique, and he stuttered into motion and came over.
"Can we see the pictures from last night, please?"
He gaped at the computer, then at her.
"Why?"
he said.
"Ah, the mysteries of human intelligence."
"Because," Deborah said, very slowly and carefully,
"I think you might have taken a picture of the killer."